John Randolph, Karen Craig Meadows, Rockham Penny, and Kellen Innocent. To see our coverage of the historic return of Mel Zelaya to Honduras, you can go to our website for the weekend's coverage at democracynow.org. Tell your friends. You pass the word. You make Democracy Now! Possible. That does it for our broadcast. I'm Amy Goodman, back in New York. Thanks for being with us for another edition of Democracy Now!
And it's 6 o'clock here at WUSB Stony Brook. Time once again for Off the Wall. We'll be right back. good evening to everybody. The program is off the wall, right? Yeah, the program's off the wall. Well, is anybody else feeling just completely under all this hot, humid weather? And it starts to affect your very psyche, you know, who you are, your basic zest for life and all that kind of thing. Boy, it's premature. It's still May, okay? It's May 31st, in case anyone hasn't checked the calendar. It's too early for temperatures to be up near 90 and for it to be all humid. And I don't know, you know, a lot of people I know are, I guess they get depressed in the wintertime because it's cold and dark. I'm cheerful in the wintertime. I get depressed when it gets warm. I don't know why. But also, maybe it's because I've got some kind of heat fever thing going on, too, because it's just too warm, and it gets difficult to breathe if you have allergies of various sorts. And then you start thinking, wow, you know, it's just downhill from here, isn't it? It's, you know, the slow, steady decline towards the end of your days lies ahead. And it does for everybody. You know, everybody has to think about this at some point. They have to think about how is it all going to turn out? How's it all going to end? And the one thing that we always can count on is that it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be nice. It's not going to be fun. There won't be a whole big musical number and dancers and fireworks and things like that. It won't be, here you go, you defeated level one, here's level two. Well, maybe it will be. I don't know. It's possible. Anything's possible. That's my religion, by the way, that I don't know and anything's possible. What do you call that? Is that a form of agnosticism? You know, it's basically, I have no faith in anything, but I can believe almost anything. Yeah, I think that makes sense. And the people who have faith, well, you know, I honestly think that you all are about equally right and equally wrong. And I include atheists with that because faith in nothing is faith all the same. You know, I don't see how anybody can know anything about what it all means, what's out there, what's within us, what's beyond. No matter how high up you are, no matter what your title, no matter what your income, you just don't know. You don't know what lies ahead or what came before or what it all means, if it means anything. But what we do know is that we have the here and now, and we perceive things the way we happen to be at the moment. Or at least that's how I see it. And you realize that there's absolutely no evidence to suggest that there is anything other than your perspective. You could be creating the entire universe through some kind of weird video game that some crazy advanced civilization has invented and you're simply an avatar in. And everything is just complete imagination. Yeah, you see, I believe anything is possible. Including every single one of the crazy religious theories that have existed since the dawning of man. Sure, those are all possible, too. Nice gray-bearded god that's going to be really angry at me for various things I've done when he somehow finds time to talk to me later on. Sure, that's possible, I guess. Could also be a spaghetti monster. Nobody knows. And that's the beauty of it. I think that's the thing that makes it all fun, is the fact that nobody knows anything. And I include scientists in that only because, yeah, you know, science is one thing. You can understand how molecules and atoms and life and all kinds of components come together. But nobody has yet understood how consciousness works and how thinking and things like that. I know we're making artificial intelligence, and we're writing programs and creating robots and things like that. We're making steps, but there are so many things that I think are beyond our comprehension in our current stage of development. I know there's so many things beyond my comprehension in my current state of development. Lots of mathematics and science and things like that that just I just cannot fathom what this all means. So I'm sure there are some things that the entire race is right now incapable of understanding, and that there are other races out there too that understand so much more. I might just see us as insects or pests or something like that. Yeah, boy, this is what happens when you get heat stroke. You just go off on these huge tangents, yes, and you can barely pronounce words, too. Well, it's not like we have air conditioning in here, either. We have a whole bunch of fans, and everyone's sweating like pigs. But that's because we love it here, and we will do radio no matter what the conditions. That's what it's all about. So, yeah, I've been just a bit under the weather and not feeling motivated to do very much. You know, wondering why bother, that kind of thing. Which kind of isn't convenient when you have three different deadlines that you're contending with in the publishing world. Yeah, you need a good swift kick to get moving sometimes. And there's no shortage of people willing to provide that, but you just hope the passion comes back at some point. And maybe the passion will come back when the humidity goes away. Let's hope so. We'll be taking phone calls tonight, by the way, because I wasn't very motivated to even put together material for the program. Yeah. Can you imagine that? It's incredible. Well, all right, let's start then with good news, all right? It's hard to find good news, I know. There's a lot of bad news out there, but if you search, you can find the good news. You gotta search, though. Gotta really search. Where is that good news? Oh, here's good news. Well, we talked about this last week, and people are gonna think I'm crazy, but what's new there? Winnipeg's getting their hockey team back. Well, not the old hockey team. That's still in Phoenix for some reason. But the Atlanta Thrashers, as we reported last week, we speculated last week that they will be moving to Winnipeg. Why do I care about this so much? You know, I don't really know myself. It stems back to just knowing a little bit of the history. It stems back to the trip to Canada that Kyle and I took last October, where we ran into a train crew in Toronto that were from Winnipeg, and I just happened to comment to them that, hey, I hope you get your team back, because I knew that Winnipeg really wanted a hockey team, and it was this city that very few people in America knew anything about, and it just kind of seemed like the underdog, the proverbial underdog that didn't have a whole lot of people, didn't have a whole lot of money, but had a whole lot of passion. And all this talk about population and profit margins and things like that the NHL had thrown at them when they pulled that team and other teams from Canada out and moved them to the deep south. it's nice to see that sort of fall apart and the sincerity win out. Anyway, so it was announced today. The Atlanta Thrashers will move to Canada after being sold to Winnipeg, Manitoba-based True North Sports and Entertainment, leaving Georgia's capital city without a hockey team for the second time. Remember the Atlanta Flames? Yeah, they turned into the Calgary Flames. They moved to Canada, too. Atlanta is the only city, I think, that's ever lost two teams of the same sport to a foreign country. I think that's pretty incredible right there. The sale was announced in a news release from the Thrashers and at news conferences in both Atlanta and Winnipeg. Comes 31 years. Really? 31 years? See, this is the kind of thing that kind of depresses me. Wow, I remember when that happened, 31 years ago, after the Atlanta Flames moved to Calgary, Alberta. And Atlanta is the only city to lose two franchises since the NHL expanded to 12 teams in 1967. Winnipeg regains a team after losing the Jets in 1996, when they were Jets were moved to Phoenix and renamed the Coyotes. And there was talk of that team moving back to Winnipeg. That would have been the perfect way that dance could have ended, but that was not to be. So yeah, they're getting a team, and that's pretty good news. I don't know. I just like to hear that a city far north is going to be getting something like this, because, well, you know, hockey is a real passion up there. In Canada. Most of the players come from Canada. A very small minority come from the United States. So, yeah, why shouldn't they benefit from this? Here's a letter. We actually got a letter from somebody in Winnipeg. Yeah, we have Winnipeg listeners. How about that? I've been a regular listener, supporter of both Off the Wall and Off the Hook for about 10 years. I'm from Winnipeg. I listen to your shows on my MP3 player each week in my car. Last week, you mentioned the fact that my city is getting a new NHL hockey team. I thought I'd let you know the formal announcement is expected on Tuesday, May 31st. Hey, bingo, you got that right. The local population and media are in quite a frenzy at the moment, as this is probably the biggest thing to happen to this city in well over a decade. You see what I mean? This is big. It matters. You don't have to be a sports fan or follow any team to appreciate that. A lot of people don't understand that. They think that because I follow the World Cup and because I follow things like this, that I'm some kind of sports nut, which I'm not. I don't even know a single name of the players. You know, it's the social aspects of it. And the cultural exchanges, especially in the World Cup, which I find fascinating. Anyway, continuing with this letter, the local population and media are in quite a frenzy, as we said. For most people in Winnipeg, there has always been the general feeling that having an NHL team gives the city a certain status as a real city, as opposed to some isolated hick town. When the Winnipeg Jets left in 1996, there was a definite downturn in both the local economy and general mood of the city. However, it has recovered somewhat over the years. It's widely expected that the return of the NHL will put Winnipeg back on the map as a major Canadian city. Speaking of Canada, I've been somewhat inspired by your road trip stories on Off the Wall these past few months, the aforementioned trip that Kyle and I took through Canada to get the smart car replaced. Not replaced, yeah. If only. No, repaired. So I've decided to take a little random unplanned road trip myself through Western Canada in June. I plan to travel through Saskatchewan, Alberta, British Columbia without any real plan, just randomly wandering about in my car, discovering whatever I find along the way. Well, thanks, Philip from Winnipeg, for those kind words, and best of luck on your trip. That sounds great. It's good to know that we reach people all over the world, in fact. So it's really pretty incredible. You know what? As long as we're talking about Winnipeg, there's another Winnipeg story. It's got nothing to do with hockey, but I figured it might be fun to share this as well. A Winnipeg woman's computer was targeted last week by hackers looking to talk their way onto her computer. Yes, could not make this up. Val Christofferson said that she received a telephone call last Tuesday, right when I was on the air, too, from a man stating he was with an online security company who was receiving error messages from the computer at her Charlesworth home. He said he wanted to fix my problem over the phone. She said she was then convinced to go online to a remote access and support website called TeamViewer.com and allow him to connect her computer to his company's system. That was my big mistake, she said. She said the scammers then tried to sell her antivirus software that they would install. At that point, the 61-year-old Anglican minister became suspicious and eventually broke off the call before unplugging her computer. Unplugging her computer. Yeah. Christofferson said she then had to hang up the on the same scam artist again after he quickly called back, claiming to be the previous caller's manager. She then called her service provider, MTS, and her bank to update her security measures and inform them of a possible breach of her system and files. While the hackers did not seem to gain access to any personal information, Christofferson thinks it was likely they were targeting her online banking data. So nothing actually happened. That's what's kind of funny here. I mean, it's possible this might have been just a sleazy salesperson that was actually trying to sell her something. Not people trying to steal identities, but who knows. I should have known right away, but they take you by surprise, she said. They make it sound very authentic. I think people should know about this. I'm not computer illiterate, but this really took me by surprise. Christofferson said she believes she was randomly targeted by the caller who... they believe we're funding from somewhere in South America. Not sure how they know that. She said it was the first time she's knowingly been targeted. Royal Canadian Mounted Police Commercial Crime Section Investigator Constable. Really? Did it say that on his door? Oh, my goodness. Royal Canadian Mounted Police Commercial Crime Section Investigator Constable Ben Dwyren said the combination of phone scam and computer hacking seems to be a novel tactic. If they can convince you to download this type of application and they're telling you what passwords to put in, that's a bit scary, he said. It still comes down to the same advice as any type of scam phone call. When in doubt, end the phone call. That's how I live my life. When in doubt, end the phone call. So, yeah, that's what's something else is going on in Winnipeg. Definitely not a hick town. There's all kinds of scams and sports happening all the time. Yeah, what else? Like I said, I don't have very much today. I really don't. It's been a tough week. Well, okay, how about that? I just heard this today, actually. I don't want to veer back into hockey, but it's a local thing now. I just heard on the radio, the other radio, that in Nassau County, they're going to allow voters, I think in August, because that's when voters turn out. they're going to allow voters in Nassau County to decide if they want to borrow, I think, $400 million or something, a huge amount of money, to build the Islanders a new rink. Yeah, a new rink to play hockey in, because they're not going to pay for it themselves. They want the county to pay for it, meaning the taxpayers, meaning the people who live in the county. They want them to pay for it, and of course the county doesn't have the money, so they're going to have to borrow it from some loan shark or something. I don't know how that works exactly, but the vote is going to go to the people. Now, here's what I think is the right thing to do. All right, I don't think people should be paying for this. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. It'll be an incredible burden on already bad economy and overtaxed population. So, people in Nassau County should say, no, we don't want to do this. Let them either build their own ice rink to make a profit in, or find some other solution. And that other solution is the team moving to Quebec. Yes, Quebec Nordiques moved away, I think it was in 1995, they lost their team. And where did they go? They went to did they go to Dallas or something? They went to some crazy southern place that never saw a hockey puck before. And Quebec has been pining for a team just like Winnipeg has been. It would be really cool to get two Canadian teams back, and this is a way that we can help by turning down this ridiculous referendum that they're putting forth to voters in Nassau County. And it's not like we don't have enough teams already. We've got two teams within a few miles of each other. We've got the Rangers and the Devils. So, you know, we're fine. Don't worry about us. But Quebec, you know, that's serious hockey country. I bet a lot of players come from there. That's the other thing. You know, when you come from there, and there are relatively few people who live there, you really get recognized on the street if you're a member of a team. It's more of a community thing then. So, yeah, they deserve a team back, and that's one way to get them what they wish. And there are other communities in Canada, too. I think Hamilton, Ontario also wants a team. It'd be really kind of neat to have all these teams that aren't doing well in the South just move up north and give people in Canada something to be happy about. All right, so that's another bit of news that's out there. This is something that happened today. It has something to do with hockey or anything sports-related. It has to do with cell phones. An international panel of experts says cell phones are possibly carcinogenic. Oh, what a big surprise to humans after reviewing details from dozens of published studies on the matter. Now, what's interesting about this is that they didn't do the studies. They studied the studies. They read the studies and I guess kind of combined them all together and reached some conclusions based on that. The statement was issued in Lyon, France, by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is the cancer agency of the World Health Organization. The assessment by the cancer panel now goes to the World Health Organization and national health agencies for possible guidance on cell phone use. Now, last year, results of a large study found no clear link between cell phones and cancer, but some advocacy groups contend the study raised serious concerns because it showed a hint of a possible link between very heavy phone use and a rare but often deadly form of brain tumor. However, the numbers in that subgroup weren't sufficient to make the case. It just strikes me that, you know, you have something next to your head that's radiating some kind of electronic signal, and you do that a lot. And it's a relatively new phenomenon, something that hasn't been going on for more than a couple of decades. It's quite possible there could be health effects of one sort or another. Probably not health benefits, probably something that's not good. So, yeah, not surprised there. And another reason why I think people should not be using cell phones so much. There are many reasons not to use cell phones. I'm lucky. I don't even get cell coverage where I live. There is no cell coverage. It's incredible. It's like living in the 18th century, but I rely on landlines, like I did in the 18th century. There's no radio waves coming from the receiver when I stick it next to my head when I'm talking on a landline. So I know I'm okay on that level. Also, the sound quality is much better. I'm not constantly texting people and tweeting and sending pictures and nonsense like that. So, yeah, maybe we should just have landlines tonight. How about that? Maybe only landlines call in. Because, you know, there are so many times that we take phone calls and we can barely understand people because they're driving in their cars, which is dangerous. And the signal keeps popping in and out, and it's just it's annoying. I'm not saying our listeners are annoying, but sometimes when we can't hear what you're saying, it's really kind of tough. Tries the patience. And I hear this all the time on radio interviews, sometimes on CNN and places like that, where people are talking on cell phones and you can barely understand anything they're saying. And then you've got other connections over the internet where people are very choppy and going in and out. And it just makes you want to go back to the old days where, yeah, maybe it costs a little more, but you could at least understand what people were saying and it sounded good. I think we can have both. I think we can have low cost and good sound. You can have unlimited plans on landlines as well, cheap overseas calls. And, yeah, you don't get to walk around the street and talk to everybody in the world on your phone at that time. True. But isn't it better to talk to the people that are around you in real life when you're actually outside doing things? All right. I see we're getting phone calls already. We're going to go to the phones in a couple of minutes. How about that? This is good if people are getting all riled up. I haven't even finished reading letters. Yes, we got response to my ranting about Google last week. I knew that would happen. One of my main points was that whenever you criticize Google, people are always quick to jump to their defense, and it's always the end user's fault. Not so with Hotmail, not so with Yahoo. We live to mock them. Anything you say anti-Microsoft, anti-Apple, yeah, a lot of people will go, oh, hey, Apple too. Apple too has kind of a cult-like following where, you know, it's simple things. I know it's my own fault. There's a Mac right in front of me. I know. I've always asked this question, and I can never remember what it is, but Apple mice have the... by default, have only one button. And there's a way to do a right-click. I forget what it is. And it's not written down anywhere on the screen or on the mouse or anything. And whenever you ask somebody, you get sort of this condescending look. Oh, well, it's Control-Alt-Shift-Delete-Spacebar-Backspace or whatever. I know it's a lot simpler than that. But I can never remember it because there's all these silly keys. The command key. What's the command key for? The Apple key, the Alt key, the Control key, the Escape key. You know, they're all used in different different applications. So it's quite easy to forget things. But there are so many little things that that you're supposed to know that aren't obvious unless you use a Mac all the time. And so that sort of opens itself up to kind of a clique of people that either know or the vast majority of people who don't know. And maybe it's sort of a defense mechanism. Maybe I'm told something, and as a means of rebelling against this particular attitude, I just immediately let it escape my head. Maybe that's it. Anyway, yeah. So you criticize Google, you're gonna hear about it, and it happens. It happens all the time. I've heard a few retorts already. Here's one from David at San Diego. I love the show, but you complain way too much. While I am not defending Google by any means, it was your fault for relying on it for directions. Uh-huh. sounds like you're defending Google to me. Because I was using Google Maps, all right? And if you're using Google Maps, then yeah, you should rely on them for directions. Otherwise, why use Google Maps, you know? I don't know. Like many things, it's just a tool. And that's what I was complaining about, was the tool. I was complaining about the tool not working properly. If Google had looked through its terabytes of saved data, you would have bitched about privacy and whatnot. Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure about that, because I don't really care if it keeps address data as far as numbering schemes and things like that. Don't really care about that. But reading mail, yeah, that's something else. That's something that I do have a problem with. The fact that Google goes through everybody's mail and picks keywords and things like that. Anyway, why not use a regular paper map like the old days and look for a route that way? Okay, here's the reason why I didn't do that. First of all, didn't have a paper map handy. All right, I did have the internet handy, so I figured I'd jump on there and join the 20th century and find my way that way. Second, a map does not give you street numbers. So there would be no way for me to find the street numbers on the map. I could find the street, maybe, but I couldn't find the actual street number. And that's what I was relying on the intelligence of this to help me with. And it failed. Failed badly. Because it doesn't like dashes in addresses. And when you take the dashes out, that doesn't help either. Anyway, for the rest of us that have regular 9-to-5 jobs, you get no sympathy, at least for me, that you had to get up early enough to make it at 8:30 a.m., welcome to the real world. Yeah. We're talking about the grand jury duty. Well, you know, it's not like I get the same amount of sleep as people if I wake up at 8:30 in the morning. Probably gone to sleep at 6 in the morning, so it's not really the same thing as living in the real world. It's living in a different world, all right? Some people wake up later. Some people wake up earlier. And there are different reasons why we do it that way, but that's just the magic of humanity. All right, shall we go into delay and start taking phone calls? I guess we can do that. Our phone number is 631-632-WUSB. It's 631-632-9872. And I guess we can just go into delay, and hopefully there'll be some phone calls coming in by the time we arrive on the other side.
Hi, this is Hugh Hopper. Where are we? We're in the under the Acme in New York, and you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
And here we are. We're in delay. Isn't that something? Feels even weirder in delay land than it does in regular land. But I guess that's okay. My goodness, a full switchboard? How did this happen? Let's she was out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Oh, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I wanted to ask how you're doing. I had requested that you ask Julian Assange when he was going to release the WikiLeaks data on the banks that he had spoken about a long time ago now, and also to use it for WUSB fundraising, putting it on a travel drive perhaps, and as you did for another station,
mm-hmm.
Some other information on WikiLeaks, and I thought that would be kind of nice.
Well, if I talk to Julian in the near future, I'll certainly ask him what the update on that is. I do know some bank information was released, but there's certainly a lot more. He's a bit preoccupied, as you can imagine, but I'm sure he'll get on that right away. Thanks for that call. Let's take another one. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Greetings from Shirley.
Shirley, how you doing?
All right, how you doing?
Pretty good. What's on your mind?
When you were talking about possible gods to believe in, how you're open to everything,
oh boy.
After white-bearded god, did you say spaghetti monster?
Did I say, yeah, you know what I did? I just sort of made that up on the spot.
Okay, now, yeah. Is there any literature I can get so I can convert? Because that sounds pretty damn interesting.
Well, what I can do is I can throw together some websites as soon as I get off the air, and maybe in about, 45 minutes, half hour, 45 minutes, no, make it an hour, type spaghetti monster into Google, and you should see a whole list of things that I've concocted. How about that?
All hail the mighty spaghetti monster.
You could say that. Yeah, okay. Let's trademark that, and that'll be good. I like that.
All right, good night.
All right, thanks for that. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Oh, hi. Hi. Emanuela. This is Rose.
Hi, Rose.
I saw you on PBS the other night.
Oh, yes. I was on Frontline for the WikiLeaks. Wiki Secrets is what they called it. What did you think of the whole documentary?
Well, I'm going to Kansas on Thursday to for the rally for Bradley Manning.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I'm driving with three other friends, and so I'm in, you know, very supportive of Bradley, and I didn't like, you know, I mean, not your part. Your part was great, but I didn't like the PBS. They really, really concentrated on that he's gay and that he's really not functioning well and. I don't know. I didn't like his father. I didn't like a lot of things about the documentary. I didn't think it's
well. I heard a lot of the same complaints from many people. I don't know. I kind of disagree because I saw it as personifying him and making him somebody that you really could understand the torment that he was going through. Yeah, it did sort of have a 48 hours type of appeal to it, I guess, which is sort of not what Frontline is all about. But I don't think it was to Bradley Manning's detriment.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not. I mean, if I didn't know who he was, I would think that, boy, this young man, you know, he's schizophrenic, or is he just very depressed, and he's you know, near suicide because his lover left him. I mean, you know, I don't know. I just got that feeling, and I know a lot about him, so I don't know. But maybe you're right, because one of the guys that we just got a fourth driver to go with us saw the special and said, you know, he read then more about it, and now he's in, and he's going with us. So it is good, you know. I mean, I guess it got people to know who he is.
I mean, the one thing it really, I think, pointed out well was how insecure this information that supposedly was top secret or secret of some sort was being kept or not being kept. And I think that's something that people need to keep in mind. Basically, it was just there for the taking, and if it wasn't Bradley, somebody else probably would have done it or already did do it.
Yeah. I went to Virginia last month, Quantico, where they had a rally there, and Daniel Ellsberg was there, and, you know, a bunch of people. And I don't know if all this publicity, you know, has anything to do with them moving him, which I think he's in a better place, even though it's out in nowhere.
I think it did. One thing that I was kind of upset about in the documentary was that they had something from P.J. Crowley, but they didn't mention what he said that led to his resignation from the government, where he said that the way Bradley Manning was being treated was wrong.
Yeah.
And it was shortly after that, a couple of weeks, I believe, that Bradley Manning all of a sudden was moved to a much more humane place, and already, you know, we've heard that he's doing much better there. So, I mean, that's something that I think was an important development.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. All right, well, I'll let you know how it goes.
All right, yeah, please call us back next week and tell us how it... can you give us any details as to when, where, that kind of thing?
Right now? Yeah, it's June 4th. It's Saturday. It starts at 11 o'clock. It's in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. I mean, you know, if anybody wants to go, you just go on bradleymanning.com and you can find out all the information.
Mm-hmm. And the idea is just to show up outside the prison or...
having a vigil, you know, just in support of him. I think it's going to be a lot like Virginia, only I imagine a lot more people, because people are coming from, you know, California, from Arizona, from,
right,
coming from all over. So
right,
if they think that they got him off into nowhere where nobody's going to visit, I think they're going to be wrong, because we're probably coming from one of the furthest places in New York.
Well, pretty much. It's in the middle of the country, so, yeah, that definitely, it matters. And he hears about things like this, too.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, you mentioned that you have that, you get sad in the summer. I do also, and I call it reverse seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that said, too, but it's not really, it's still a seasonal affective disorder. It's not reverse, it's just different.
Well, usually people think, well, the winter they get depressed, but it's the opposite for me.
Yeah, it's just something about the warmth, and I don't know. Maybe you feel like you're supposed to be happier than you are.
I don't know. I my worst time of year, and we skipped spring, so it's like really bad. But what are you going to do?
Yeah. All right. Listen. Thanks for your call. Let us know what happens next week.
All right. Stop by.
Take care. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel. This is Bobson from Bulgaria.
How did I know that we were going to get a call from Bulgaria tonight?
And on a landline on whatever is left of it, anyhow.
Well, that's good. You know, I think all the calls so far seem to... I'm not sure about the Shirley call, but most of the calls seem to have been on landlines. They sound pretty good. Now, you're calling, though, on... are you calling on Skype or something?
No. Landline.
Just regular landline. Okay.
Well, what's left of it. I'm not sure what the provider is doing on their end, but supposedly a landline.
Oh, it sounds pretty good.
One thing, this season, warm season thing that I also find disagreeable, I call it beach weather.
Uh-huh.
Anything higher than the high 60s of Fahrenheit is disagreeable with me.
Yeah, yeah. And you're talking Fahrenheit, hopefully.
Yeah, high 60s of Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Which is here by this time anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
It's beach weather, and I don't like going to the beach when there's people, crowds of people there anyhow.
Yeah. Are there many beaches in Bulgaria?
Well, on the Black Sea coast, there were, back in the day, I don't know what's left of them, but yeah, it's part of tourism around here, but
okay.
Summertime, but I'm not, as I said, I'm not into beaches that much. Another thing, do you happen to remember in the 1990s when there was a company called Hotmail and Microsoft purchased it?
Yes.
And they tried switching the service from a FreeBSD setup to a Microsoft Windows setup.
Okay.
And it broke badly for a few days.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
I remember vaguely.
So remember what happened last week to Skype? The exact same thing.
Really?
It was a worldwide outage of Skype for some reason, and I don't think anyone's put the two together, and historically it seems as if the exact same thing happened once again.
Wow. So they were trying to, was it the same move to the same types of systems?
I don't know what they were doing, but it reminded me of the Hotmail thing from years ago, which back then was, well, apparently the people who did Hotmail to begin with were doing it on FreeBSD, and when Microsoft purchased it, they decided to switch it over, and it broke for a week, 4 days. And I don't know what was happening last week with the Skype thing, but it seems like the result was the same, at least, for services.
Right.
Curious, I'd say. I mean, not too interesting, but it's the self-same thing happening years after years with the same big money places and whatnot.
Right. Okay, well, that's definitely something to keep watching, I guess, symptoms like that. Anything else from Bulgaria?
Well, not that I can think of.
Okay.
Enjoy the rest of the hot weather, and let's hope it doesn't get too...
Yeah, hopefully it won't continue for that much longer. I exist much better in cooler climates.
Even though I have some plants that enjoy the hot weather, but...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Yeah, well, they're plants. You're human.
Yep.
Big difference.
Just pretending.
Yeah. All right. Well, good hearing from you again.
Have a good night.
All right. Take care. Our phone lines are open, by the way. We had a rash of phone calls there, so now we're ready for a second rash. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Landlines preferred, but we'll take whatever we can get, I suppose. Here's some more mail from listeners. Love the show, the content, but one thing is bothering me. What is that beautiful music playing at the start of each show? Oh, what? You mean, hang on, I've got to get this in the right... You mean that. That. Well, you guessed properly that that's Philip Glass, and yes, you're right, it's Philip Glass. And it's music from the Thin Blue Line, if you need to look it up. And what we did was we kind of mixed it a little bit differently in a different order. So, yeah, that's where you can find it. There's all kinds of musical pieces from that film. Never seen the film. Kind of curious how they use the music, but definitely jumped out at us. So that's why it's here. Actually, a number of people have written in to ask the exact same question. So hopefully that answers that particular query. Again, 631-632-9872. I know there's more people out there. We had a full switchboard a second ago. Now we have an empty switchboard. So this is the opportunity to give a call and find out what's on your mind and go back and forth about various things. It's always good to hear from our listeners. 631-632-9872. If you are on a cell phone, it's okay. Call us anyway, but we might mock it a little bit. Just a fair warning there. I didn't want to read this story. Okay, fine. Someone named their baby Facebook. Okay, we heard about that, right? A while ago. Okay, now an Israeli couple has named their kid Like. They named it after the Like button on Facebook. This is how you're going to start your kid off in life. By naming it after a button on a website. Yeah, Lior and Vardit Adler. Actually, I guess if your name is Lior and Vardit, Like is got to be an improvement, isn't it? I can insult them. I mean, if they're going to name the kid after a button, I can insult their first names. I think that's fair. They're the proud parents of a bouncing baby girl named after the Facebook Like button. And, by the way, I really have to read this. The Facebook Like button recently celebrated its first birthday. Yeah, I'm sure it did. I'm sure it had a wonderful time. Apparently, the parents were looking to call their daughter something unique. The moniker is not meant to be a gimmick. They say they're not shilling for Facebook. They just like the meaning behind the name. They're hardly the first people to saddle their kid with a suspect name. And that poor kid, growing up, how is that kid going to survive a name like? A name like... See, I can't even say that sentence without stumbling. One man offered to name his son Batman... if you could get 500,000 people to become fans of his Facebook page. And another couple named their child Facebook in honor of the role the social network played in the revolution in Egypt. Yeah. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Now, granted, naming your child something unusual is not relegated to the realm of social media. Apparently, Brooklyn is an extremely popular name now. So, that's sure something to consider, I guess. Really? No phone calls? 631-632-9872. I'm sure there's people out there that have something to say. We only have a few minutes left, so we'd love to hear from you. We don't often take phone calls this long in the show, so there's time for you to actually say something. All right, here we go. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, you know what? Regarding naming your kid something unique, why not use the name Unique?
That's interesting. Unique as a name.
It's kind of cute.
Male or female?
Pick your pick.
Okay. All right. Unique. I like it. I like it.
Okay. You could like it with your like button. There
oh, boy. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Take care. That did sound like a cell phone, didn't it? Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
You could like it with your like button.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
I got a funny story for him.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. In today's snooze day, there is a thing, a Tupac Shakur was found in Switzerland.
I think that was a story that wound up on a hacked web page in response, actually, to the Frontline story that we talked about earlier. I think that's... Is that the same story?
Yes, sir.
All right, so there was a news story. Did you call it snooze day?
Snooze day.
Wow. Are you calling from a cell phone or a landline?
Yeah, it's the cell phone, and I'm driving. I want to get off of here.
Well, okay, but, I mean, that's good that I was able to make out snooze day on a cell phone. That means you have a good cell phone. But, yeah, I guess the story was reported as news.
I got a giggle out of it.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Morrison in Switzerland.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what Tupac is doing these days, I guess. All right, thanks. Thanks for that.
Have a good night, sir.
Take care. Again, if anybody is remaining out there in the last 5 minutes or so, please give us a call, 631-632-9872. I'd love to hear from you and find out what's going on in your particular part of the world. Yeah, you know, there were some people that were pretty upset with that story on Frontline, and there was we'll talk more about this tomorrow on Off the Hook, but there were some entities out there that actually hacked the PBS webpage and put a fake news story on there. Allegedly in response to what was said on the Frontline story. I don't think they said what they were upset about, which would have been a lot nicer to present a viewpoint rather than just a prank, but whatever. No harm done, I suppose, hopefully. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, what's on your mind?
It's not snooze day.
Okay.
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday snooze day.
Jewsday, J-E-W, and that's also Jews 12, Long Island, too.
Uh-huh. Okay. Is there some kind of meaning behind that? No, I don't think there is. He just hung up. All right. That's great. Well, you see, that's putting out a clever retort somehow. 621-632-9872. Please don't let that be the last word. Yeah, you have the power. You have the power to raise the level of conversation just a little bit. 631-632-9872. Outside the country, country code 1. I think we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that Japan has scrapped their plans for new nuclear plants. Yeah, they actually are paying attention to what's going on, what's still going on over there. The situation is not resolved by any stretch. They have 4 nuclear power plants running amok over there, radiation being released in all kinds of different places and types, and nobody really understands any of it. We're talking about things that go beyond human comprehension. We're at this stage, running something that complex. It's something we're not ready for. We had a horrible tornado in Joplin, Missouri, last week. What would have happened if there was a nuclear power plant right there in that city? What would have happened? You think it would have survived? You think everything would have acted exactly the way it should have? I'll bet something would have been forgotten, and something bad would have happened. All right, more on this in a moment. Let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Manuel.
How you doing?
Hey, dear. How you doing?
Who's this?
Robux Gig, how you doing?
Okay, where are you calling from?
I'm in Montana right now.
Okay, cool. What's on your mind?
Same old crap. I came here to, whatchamacallit, to save the day. Couldn't let that other schmuck be the last phone call.
Thank you, appreciate that.
Not a problem at all. How are things going? Everything's all right?
Yeah, you know, a little warm, a little muggy, but things are okay for the most part.
Glad to hear it. Well, listen, this is probably in line more for the other show, so I probably should have called back then. But just running around Manhattan the other day, I was snapping some pictures of some silly-looking antennas in the middle of the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of wondering if you had any idea about, like, what they were or anything like that.
Well, not being able to see the pictures. Yeah, not being able to see the pictures is kind of hard for me to say.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I didn't do that. You know what? You know what? Email them.
Well, you can try and describe them a little bit, then maybe...
Basically, yeah, there's just a bunch of verticals, and it was a Yagi there that was on a... what looks like a $10 pole that you buy at Radio Shack protruding out of the sidewalk facing uptown.
Was this by any chance on First Avenue?
No, it wasn't, but it was on right by 7th Avenue South, actually.
Okay, because I know that they're putting up antennas on First Avenue and cameras and things like that. That's for the new bus lanes, the express bus.
Oh.
The M15 Select. That's the one where you don't have to show your Metro card. You basically buy a ticket first, get on the back of the bus like you do in Europe, and a ticket inspector might ask to see your ticket or might not. But the reason that bus is able to move so fast is because people don't have to line up to get inside it, and it has its own lane. But if you block that lane, you're going to have your license plate, have a picture taken of it and transmitted various places and things like that. Also, I think there's a way that they're going to be predicting when that bus will come based on its location, which is what the antenna will be used for.
Oh, okay. The other thing I wanted to mention to you is I'll email those hopefully tonight, I guess. The other thing I was going to mention to you is, have you heard or seen the new high-speed rail that Japan has? It might be old news, but I thought this one was pretty new.
I remember seeing a piece about it and just being rather angry, because here they are getting yet another stage of high-speed rail, and we can't even agree that high-speed rail is a good thing in this country. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, I've actually, it's funny, I've actually driven past Stony Brook to make the train in St. James.
Mm-hmm.
And gotten there.
Yeah, you can beat the train. It's like I mentioned, I saw somebody bicycling faster than the train last time I was on it. It's just, it's really sad that we can't seem to develop mass transit the way other countries have. It's really beneficial, saves energy, saves time. And because it costs money, I guess that's why we don't do it. But, you know, you got to spend money in order to progress.
Yeah, that's true. But,
yeah.
You know, I'll get those pictures out to you. Once again, you know, there were a couple of things that I thought you might be interested in.
All right. Well, otw@2600.com is our email address.
Okay. Yeah, I've also left a bunch of weird-looking sensors on the Northern State Parkways and the expressway as well.
You're talking about those things that are in the middle, sort of standing upright?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think those might be EasyPass transmitters or receivers or something, and they use that to let you know how many minutes it's going to take you to get to the next destination or whatever. I think that's what it, you know, the signs that say it'll take 20 minutes to get to Cross Island Parkway.
Yeah, I just noticed that. Yeah.
Right. Well, that relies on EasyPass signals from cars so that they know how many cars are around. Now, of course, if a lot of people don't have EasyPass in their cars, then it's kind of useless. But apparently, a lot of people do. So that's how they estimate the time.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
I think that's what that is. It could be something else, but I think that's what that is.
All right.
Okay.
All right, well, I'll get those images to you, and you know, maybe you can reply back or talk about them on my show tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks. Thanks for your call. Yes.
Not a problem. I'll talk to you.
And thanks for having the last word.
Indeed. Thanks. Thanks so much. We're back out of delay now. Thanks everybody for calling in. But just to finish the thought I had started before concerning the nuclear plants, just announced a day or two ago that Germany also wants to phase out nuclear power in the next decade or so. And that is an abrupt about-face. An abrupt about-face, as recently as the tsunami earthquake and nuclear catastrophe that hit Japan, Germany was vowing to continue to operate and build nuclear power plants until people showed up in the streets and demanded that they reconsider that position. Well, they did. They listened. And they did an about-face. They realized that this isn't the way to go. We can do a lot better than this. We can have renewable energy sources and not put our populations at risk, because now we've seen the risks. Now we've realized that a lot of these people were right for doubting in the first place. And we realized that here on Long Island many years ago when we shut down Shoreham and Jamesport. And unfortunately, it takes accidents to wake people up sometimes. All right. Hey, yesterday was Memorial Day, so of course we have to go out with a Memorial Day song. This isn't really a Memorial Day song, is it? But it has to do with soldiers and fighting and killing and things like that, and that's what Memorial Day is all about, isn't it? Till next week, have a good night.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down the river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Old Hickory said we could take them by surprise. If we didn't fire a musket, still we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we seen their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well. We fired our guns and the British kept them coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. So we grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind. And when we touched the powder off, the gator lost his mind. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles. And they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so